Controller has little VU meters on it. I didn't notice that until just now. This is Pure Decking, show number 338 for Thursday, February 28th or 29th. I lose track. 2019. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and trying to find alternative realities via alcohol. I'm Morps. Tonight I am drinking Bullet Bourbon. A lot of it. And we have Madman. Madman, how are you coping with your job?
I'm taking shots of NyQuil and dihydrogen monoxide, but I also have Bullet Bourbon next to me, so if the NyQuil doesn't solve the symptoms, the bourbon might make it where I don't care anymore.
Well, worst case, you can always go get trashed on Listerine.
That involves getting up. The other two are within reach.
And RU is here.
What's up?
So
I have water. Very imaginative.
That's dangerous stuff where that comes from.
Well, universal solvent that can kill some people.
Yeah. I mean, you know what fish do in water?
Mm-hmm. Each other, I think.
I can taste it.
I can fishy. Taste the fish jizz.
So yeah, we'll see. Light
news. Well, the Alex Jones interview happened.
Okay. Yeah, we can go straight to that.
4 hours of magic, people.
I'll be honest
with
you.
I highly recommend it.
I'm kind of retarded.
That sums it up, man. It is beautiful, retro Alex Jones at his best again. If you miss the interdimensional alien talk, you're going to be home here. It's fantastic.
The leftist A-Ron groups hacking my web store. Or actually the Greys, who give themselves blood enemas.
Child blood enemas. Yeah, it was fucking fantastic. I highly recommend it. So the first 3.5 hours is amazing. Then they get high and shit goes crazy. So it's good.
Now I'm imagining Alex Jones high discovering what TikTok is.
Oh, fuck. Didn't they just recently get busted for keeping children's shit?
Yeah, but it was the standard. They weren't doing any real checking or agreement on the underage children and just doing data tracking. So
okay.
It's not, I mean, it's nefarious, but it's not really nefarious. It's not like kiddie porn or anything like that. It's just
they were
keeping data on minors. And didn't go through the correct processes for doing that like Facebook does, where they say you're not supposed to use the service if you're below a certain age.
Well, you know how they took down all those kiddie child videos from YouTube last week?
That's actually what the discussion topic is tonight. I mean, yeah, we talked about it last week, too.
Oh, okay. I
got something on that, but we'll see if it's what you were thinking. This is...
Sorry, you go.
Okay. It's from The Verge. Trolls are trying to take down the YouTube channel of PewDiePie's rival by misusing the site's new rules against predatory comments on videos of children. New rules against predatory comments on videos of children. You don't think you'd need a rule against that. You just go find them and hit them in the head with a shovel, and nobody asks questions about the new ditch in the backyard. YouTube spent the bulk of last week trying to clean up comment sections by banning users and channels associated with predatory comments, but the people trolling aren't going to get anywhere because they've misunderstood how the new rules work. In particular, trolls are leaving comments on videos from T-Series, a popular Bollywood channel that's close to overtaking PewDiePie as the largest channel on YouTube. The comments include timestamps suggesting there's CP or child pornography at certain moments. a number of advertisers pulled spending on YouTube last week after it came out that predators were commenting on innocuous videos starring children, and YouTube began cracking down in response, deleting tens of millions of comments and removing more than 400 accounts. And then they have the screenshot from 9-year-old Epic Gamer Soldier saying, "Yes, we finally found a way to destroy T-Series. Just say some pedo shit in their comment section and they'll get repped Epic style." Oh, that's fucked up. That's led some people to leaving similar comments right on YouTube can get a channel banned. Trolls are leaving comments on videos that don't even star children to ask YouTubers and then asking YouTube to investigate the channel or request the channel be taken down because it contains child pornography content. Other commenters pretend to be the predators themselves using time stamping, a tool that bad actors used. I love how they're describing what timestamping is, a tool that bad actors use to signal parts of the video that sexualizes a child. No, timestamping is just calling out the timestamp of a video, but okay.
Yeah, they really got to fucking not do that. That's a pretty big fucking...
Yeah.
That annoyed me. What did I send you this morning? Timestamp on a fucking sound clip.
Yep.
Does that turn me into a dirty fucking... YouTube person?
Yep, we've got that Alex Jones pedophilia right here.
I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
So, I mean, come on. Okay, we already read that. Comments on other videos, including Keemstar's drama alert, include talk about weaponizing comment sections. That's not how YouTube is policing its comment sections, though. YouTube is preemptively disabling comments on videos it believes may attract bad actors. For example, family vlogs that feature kids at a track meet or gymnastics competition, they have their... track meet or gymnastics... Oh. Fuck, we're getting into dark shit again. They have their comment sections shut down in an attempt to thwart bad actors and predators from covering and sexualizing the content in question. The company is also restricting monetization on videos that may draw out predators based on the video's specific content. So, the article goes on, but that's the gist of it, is the trolls were trying to use it to get other channels taken down, saying, "Oh, look, there's CP at this timestamp." And, you know, it's just, you know, somebody reading the news or, you know, doing a, you know, music, you know, whatever the channel is, right? Nothing to do with that. But I really am getting a little bit tired of these articles, you know, reading them and like, why are we talking about a gymnastics competition? And then it dawns on me, I'm like, oh...
Yeah, it's because you're not a sick fuck. That's why. You should be happy it has to take a light bulb moment to figure it out.
Well, it's just like little kids running around. Who the fuck cares? Yeah, and then it's like, oh, you sick bastards.
Because there's sickos out there.
Yeah.
And they're waiting for that perfect shot on the crossbars.
Well, you know, there is an appropriate response to these bastards.
Mm. Bolt gauge to the back of the skull. If you shoot yourself in the foot on radio, that'll be fucking epic, dude.
It would, but I was actually taking a second to unload it before I sat there and racked the slide.
Like, because you know, the biggest soundbite today is that Alex Jones clip. Everybody's going to be using that.
Oh, of course.
The retarded one. I was going to say, you could overtake that if you accidentally shoot yourself on air.
I could. But I'm not going to, because I'm putting the gun away now because you've suggested this, and I've been drinking.
This station's going to get a lot of fucking popularity, man, when I post that everywhere on the internet.
So, sir, we understand you shot yourself trying to make gun noises to talk about shooting pedophiles. You know what? Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that. So...
Yeah, I thought that was. I heard the rumors of that going on yesterday with this, some nefarious motherfuckers running around just trying to get people banned for all sorts of shit. And as that guy said, leaving pedo comments. I thought it was amusing as fuck. You know, they're just going to find another way to try and get channels struck and taken down.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they're still doing the, you know, copyright strikes for ransom thing.
Yep.
And I had an article, but I ultimately decided it was kind of pointless, that Amazon is going to start letting brands decide whether or not something's a knockoff. So you're going to start seeing Amazon getting really empty, really quick competitors. So
Oh.
But and it's kind of in that same light, right? You're letting the people who benefit from having something taken down make the decision of whether or not something gets taken down. So the answer is always yes.
They'll find another way. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Well, Cycros in the IRC is saying that apparently Gab has an extension that lets you put comments on any web page. So
thank you, Gab.
Yeah, yep. That'll be the next thing. It's, okay, you install this extension, you go to this YouTube video, and you look at the Gab comments. And where are the Gab moderators? Oh, they all shot themselves. They got sick of this shit.
Well, somebody from I think it was YouTube. No, not YouTube. It was Facebook. One of their shit farmers, you know, the dudes that go through and categorize all the stuff. Did you see that article this week about that?
Yeah, talking about, there's a couple of those floating around. There's one about how they have to sign all these gag orders and they can't talk about what they do for a living and how they're, you know, they're getting PTSD from some of this shit.
Yeah, dudes are getting high just to fucking work.
Yeah.
I'm like, you fucking puss. Why would you apply for a job like that if you couldn't do 4chan for 8 hours a day?
Because they didn't know what they were applying for. They just thought they were going to get a job at Facebook.
Like, I was reading it, and the list of complaints, I'm like, only if you're a normie would you be bitching about that. Like, well, they don't be saving some of that awesome content to show you guys.
They want normies for that job. You got to remember, they don't want somebody who's going to look at that point and laugh and think it's hilarious. Because, you know, they want somebody who's going to take it down and you know, apologize to the poor, fragile minds of the average Facebook user and not...
Dude, can you imagine fucking grabbing some poor pleb off the street and just going, welcome to the internet, motherfucker. You know what I mean? You've never seen shit like this before.
Oh, he died.
Video. Yep, he's dead. Oh, look, there's a man getting raped by a horse. You know, like, you can't take normal people like that.
We're going to need another Timmy.
Exactly. No wonder they're fucking each other in stairwells and shit like that. But, yeah, I couldn't think of a more cruel thing to do to a normal person.
Well, think about it for a minute, though, right? People go to apply to Facebook hoping to get a job, but you don't actually have any skills at anything. What do? Well, we put them on the moderator section because God knows the AI is not going to do it. So, you know, they have warehouses filled with cube farms of people doing this shit because it's the only way to do it with any regularity that doesn't just turn the site into, you know, complete uselessness or just miss everything and get them sued again.
Yeah, I'd love a job like that. As you said, though, I'd be bad at the job. You'd be like, Matt, that's fine.
So, Mr. Aryu, we see that you haven't met your quota for deleted posts. We're going to need you to delete at least 16 more posts before the end of the week.
Wow.
And you should really stop grabbing your coworkers from the side and asking them to watch the videos with you. They're not funny.
A dude by the name of Devin Stack who pulls apart modern media for his bias. He's just put out a new video pulling Office Space apart. And, yeah, it was interesting stuff. If you're a film freak, check out some of his stuff. Oh, that's, just made me think of that.
Yeah, that'd probably be good to watch. You know, it'd be that or it would be... I just completely lost my train of thought.
Fuck. Yeah, but as you said, I'd be terrible at this job. Yeah, that's it. How do you apply for this job? What's the criteria? Like, do you
have to do it from home?
I wish you could. It should be able to. It would just be a log-on thing, wouldn't it?
It probably would, but I'd be willing to bet that it's being ran by your business traditionalists who don't actually care about productivity. They care about ass in chair time.
And then nickel and dime micromanage living fuck out of everything.
Yeah, so they're pulling people into cube farms. They're probably, honestly, not even really employees of Facebook. They're probably contractors coming in through temp agencies and shit, just like regular call centers.
Yeah.
And, it's probably a really shitty job. And I'm sure most of the social networks, not just Facebook, probably have jobs like that.
Yeah, I might think about applying for some if there's any available in Australia. Interesting. Just to even see if I could get the job to start with.
Well, I
wonder what the criteria are.
I can't put AI on the job. It'll give the AI ideas. This is how this guy did happen. It saw Mr. Hands and decided the species doesn't need to continue.
No, I'm like, so, Mr. Are You, that post you have approved of the guy taking the bag of kittens and the lawnmower, we're going to need your badge.
I don't condone that, man. That would have been a bit of a... I don't like animal cruelty. I can't watch that.
You know that's probably a large chunk of what they filter on there.
Yeah, I'd probably rage pretty hard, and the cubicle next to me might have a few issues with post-traumatic stress after the first day of me freaking out. But
just you're sitting over there going nuts at the keyboard. Your coworker motions for the supervisor to come over. Call the police.
He's on the desk again. He's got his pants off, and he's carrying a stapler. Yeah, I can't, dude. I can't do anything that has animal abuse, and I can't do children. Like, I'll watch fucking dudes get beheaded all fucking day. It doesn't worry me. I'll watch, you know, like suicide by train, 24 hours a day.
See now, now you got me envisioning you on, you know, standing on the desk, tie around your forehead, you know.
Oh fuck yeah, dude!
With the stapler,
doing the full urban swinging Rambo shit,
swinging the stapler around like it's nunchucks. Or nunchucks.
I have to find
right.
Who puppy fucker 63 is, because I'm gonna kill that motherfucker. Yeah, that would probably be the downside of that job, is animal abuse.
Oh no, you'd probably also be able to find who the fucker is, because you probably have access to their account information on the back end. And how
See,
many?
That would make
not,
my
most
weekends
people don't,
a lot more. Productive.
Most people don't hide who they are on Facebook.
Yeah, that would make my weekends a lot more productive. Where are you going with the baseball bat? Going to play some baseball? Yup. Are you Mr. Puppy Fucker 63? We need to chat.
Hey, we're going to recreate one of my favorite audio clips.
I just got up my own dick.
This is why you shouldn't go near children, sir.
Yeah. That would be the big downside of it. Like, I know when I was tard wrangling, there were a fucking few days there where I had to come home and drink pretty heavily. You know, because shit was happening to kids and I couldn't fucking handle it and I wasn't allowed to get violent.
Oh. You know,
that was some of the darkest shit from that job.
Yeah.
Some of those nights, man, my wife was like, are you going to sleep or are you just going to drink that whole bottle? I'm like, fuck off.
Say, I'm going to drink the whole bottle.
Dude, there was no way to sleep. You just drank till you passed out.
See, I was about to make the joke, tard wrangling. Can I steal that for my job? And then you went there, and I'm like, oh, never mind.
Oh, dude, go right ahead. I love that tard wrangling. But you can't say that. Yes, I can. That's what I did. And essentially, that was my first position in that job, was put in a field with all these tards, and I had to keep them alive. Wrangling. Anyway,
the joke is it was actually harder than he thought it would be.
Fucking A, it was.
It's like, they're people. How hard is it to keep people alive? Oh, they try to kill each other. Fuck.
Dude, they actively try to kill themselves. And not because it's suicidal. It's just they don't know. Look, a train.
I'm going to hug the train.
I had one, dude. I had one.
If I jump off the cliff, I can fly.
Dude, we get
Let us know how that goes for you, Jimmy.
We used to have these ones called runners. The minute, like, you know, like a zombie fucking movie? Like, the minute they see the right color, they just run to it?
Yeah.
Like, we used to have this little kid, dude. He's probably 9 or 10 years old, severe fucking autism. This kid was a fucking runner, and he loved the color red. He saw a red car. He was fucking out that gate, gone, man. His handler was fucking so slow to catch. Kid got hit by a car. They don't think, man.
Sounds like a learning experience to me.
Dude, he'll do it again. They'll do it again.
Fuck.
Yeah, you have no idea, dude. Like, being sub fucking par 70 as an IQ, there's no fucking hope for you in this world. I brought the mood down.
Good times. Good times.
I have testicular cancer.
That was not the right button.
I'll pay it, though.
So, all right, close enough. Let's move on. The next article is from Slate. And the headline might be a bit biased. And it says, Facebook says a clear history tool will hurt its advertising business. Good. I think there might be some bias there.
Listen to the amount of people who are clapping.
At the height of the Cambridge Analytica scandal in May of 2018, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg floated a very un-Facebook-like idea. He said the company was building a clear history feature that would let users flush their browsing data from Facebook, much like you can erase it from your web browser. He added that the feature...
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you think it's really gone? He added the feature would start with the data that Facebook collects from websites and apps that use Facebook's ads and analytic tools. The concept is something privacy advocates have long called for, yet Zuckerberg's apparent embrace of it came as a surprise. Could it be because he got called in front of Congress? No shit. That's because it runs counter to Facebook's long history of algorithmic or grabbing as much user data as it can from wherever it can find it. So the trial balloon immediately raised three questions. One, really? Two, when? And three, really? Now we have an answer to at least the first two of those questions and a strong hint into the third. The answer is yes, really, this year, and well, probably really, mostly. Until Tuesday, the clear history idea was starting to look like it might have been an empty promise made by Zuckerberg under duress and quietly scuttled after the fuss died down. After initially saying that the feature would take a few months to build, Facebook told its tech site Recode in December that it was taking longer than it initially had thought, citing technical obstacles. It's an excuse that might hold more water if it didn't come from a company that employs thousands of the world's most skilled software developers. By last week, the press was losing patience. BuzzFeed's Ryan Mack wrote a story headlined Mark Zuckerberg promised a clear history tool almost a year ago. Where is it? Mark's reporting suggested that the project was a fantasy at the time it was proposed, and it may have never really gotten off the ground. Mark just wanted to score some points, one anonymous company source said. On Tuesday, however, Facebook gave a strong indication that clear history really is coming. No, we're not just stringing you along, really. And it attached a more credible timetable. Specifically, CFO David Warner told an audience of bankers, investors, and industry insiders at a Morgan Stanley conference that the feature is coming later this year, and that it would likely hurt Facebook's targeted advertising business. Broadly, clear history is going to give us some headwinds in terms of being able to target as effectively as before, Warner said per CNBC. The context is noteworthy because Warner wasn't glad handling world leaders at Davos or trying to smooth out a controversy in the media. He was warning a bunch of money bags to expect a punch in the pocketbook. These are people who have more of a vested interest in the advertising industry profits than they have in Facebook's public image or its users' privacy. So if it weren't really happening, Warner would have little incentive to bring it up. More importantly, the fact that Facebook's CFO is talking about the feature in terms of headwinds to its business suggests that it's not mere window dressing. The implication of the third question above, really, is that Facebook might indeed release a feature called Clear History, yet design it in such a way that it's either ineffectual or unlikely to be broadly used. You know, 2 pixels wide at the bottom of a very, very hard-to-find group, you know, buried down in the depths to make you think you're looking at kiddie porn so you get uncomfortable and can't find the button. You know, like insurance companies do with their claims forms.
Yeah.
But
it sounds about right.
You know, Facebook and other techs, blah, 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 blah. So the fact that they were warning investors that this might hurt their bottom line is, I don't know that it's a strong indication that it's coming. I think it's a strong indication they're trying to get their investors to say, if you build this, we're going to sue your ass. So, we couldn't build it. Sorry. Because as a publicly traded company, they have a fiduciary responsibility not to hurt their own bottom line.
Yeah, I think they're pulling a fast one.
I might be giving them too much credit for that. But I like what Psychro said in the IRC there. History cleared, data retained.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So what he's saying is they're going to already have distilled an audit. And that's probably true, because that stuff happens automatically as it comes in. You get categorized as a user, right? So you end up in buckets of, you know, what ads to show. He's using the example of guns. But, you're going to get basically tags attached to your account for the classification of advertisement. You know, mail, guns, you know, single, married, kids, whatever. And, you know, you're saying, okay, we clear out the history, but we're keeping the tags. So, yeah, I see that. I could easily see that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But, at the same time, given the way publicly traded companies are set up and the way shareholders can actually sue the board if they're acting in a way that, you know, would have significant impact to the profits, I almost wonder if the CFO is trying to, incite the shareholders to come back in and say, you can't do this. It's going to hurt profits.
Yeah.
I might be giving him too much credit, but...
I think
you might be giving him more credit and thinking a bit more legally than I think is going to happen. Because businesses can change their business models, even if it does potentially threaten income. They just have to say, we thought we can make a profit a different way and list what their new profit mechanism was going to be.
Well, Psychros has a good point in the IRC, too, that, you know, are all the privacy concerns driving people away from the platform and hurting it just as much?
Yeah. Because Pixar completely changed its business model, could have tanked, but became super, 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 super profitable. They don't do anything with medical equipment anymore. I don't recall any of their investors complaining.
Well, yeah, Disney bought them out, so, you know, they got the mouse
money. They were making movies before Disney bought them out.
Well, I know. But, you know, they got their payout and their buyout, so, yeah, they're happy now. But, there's more to the article going on and on about it, but that's really the gist of it. There's no reason to go read the rest of it where it's all of their attempt at analysis. And, frankly, I don't really care. So, anyways, you know, if they do have a history clear button and it actually works, good on them. I'd like to see that kind of stuff. It'd be even better to have an opt-in. Just saying.
There you go.
I mean, it is kind of obnoxious the way all these tech companies think they have a right to your data. It's like, oh, no, we have a right to collect that. And it's like, fucker, I didn't get a choice about your app coming on my phone. You don't have a right to shit.
Yeah, that's a bit shitty, man, when the app gets delivered with the phone.
Yeah. I have a Note 8. I had to go in and disable all the Facebook services. You can't remove them from the stock image, and I need to keep this one stock for various reasons. So. Now, the other two phones, those are jailbroken, but those are used for other things. So, but this one, which is my daily driver phone, I need to keep stock. Primarily because BlackBerry for work won't install if I've rooted it. anyways.
I think it's crap. There's stock images where you can't remove shit. I just bought it. This isn't essential for the phone's function. The fuck off my damn phone.
You can turn it off, but yeah, actually removing the apps, just it's not an option. And it's because Facebook gave Samsung a shit ton of money to do it. I'm not saying it's right. I understand where it comes from. I hate it. So, next article from Ars Technica is just kind of funny. Amazon's latest program to curb emissions: one delivery per house per week, or one delivery day per house per week. On Thursday,
good luck, Jeff.
Yeah. On Thursday, Amazon announced that it would be making a program widely available to Amazon Prime members that would allow them to schedule all deliveries for a single day, once a week. The so-called Amazon Day service will be voluntary and targets customers who are concerned about their carbon footprint. Grouping purchases or purchase deliveries will help Amazon cut down on emissions associated with sending a delivery truck to the same house multiple times a week. And the company says holding orders for a single day during the week will allow it to group orders within a single package, thereby reducing packaging. Customers can select their preferred day of the week to receive shipments. According to CNN, customers can add items to their Amazon Day shipment up until 2 days in advance of the shipment. Customers can also choose to remove an item from an Amazon Day delivery, having it shipped more expeditiously if necessary. Select Prime members have already had access to the program, but it was made available to all Prime members as of today. Maria Rentz, Vice President of Delivery Experience at Amazon, said in a statement that the Amazon Day pilot program has already reduced packaging by tens of thousands of boxes. The program is part of Amazon's plan to get 50% of its shipments to net zero carbon emissions by 2030. The company has recently led a $700 million investment round for a company called Rivian, which promises to make an electric pickup truck and van by late 2020. And in late 2017, Amazon tested a hydrogen fuel cell forklifts and its batteries as well. Previous studies suggest that Amazon may have good luck getting Prime members to select Amazon Day. A 2016 paper using data from Amazon Prime showed customers were likely to select slower shipping if Amazon offered to buy carbon offsets in lieu of two-day shipping. Bullshit. Go ahead. I have an answer for what this really is. No, obviously.
I've already checked out of this story. Like, I'm 2 to 3 days away before I make another comment.
Go for it, Madman.
Save on emissions.
I'm finding one slight good side to this. If you schedule one day, and it's a day you know you're going to be getting your packages, you're going to be preventing porch pirates. You're going to be there for your damn package.
Oh, that's a much better reason than what I was thinking. I was thinking
that's
this
the only reason I do it. I don't care about the whole carbon check.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm like, you really think that many people? I mean, sure, they'll feel good when they're doing it, but then the second time they've had to wait a week and a half to get their shit, they're going to go turn that off. Right? Because, oh, no, I ordered something the day before Amazon Day, and it didn't ship till the next week. Yeah, that's not going to fly for most people. I think what this really is Amazon looked at how much they're spending on cardboard for Prime members who get free shipping, and they're like, oh, well, we got to do something about that. I think that's what's really going on, is they're just trying to cut the packaging costs down. Now, that said, the Porch Pirates is a good idea. Because, yeah, nothing says you couldn't schedule. They're not saying you couldn't schedule it for like a Saturday, are they? So you know you'd be home.
Well, okay, so everybody's scheduling for Saturdays. It's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to pick your day. Yeah.
So they're saying pick day, didn't it?
Yeah, they are. But if everybody on the street, if the truck still has to go down the street every day because somebody has an Amazon day that day, you're not really preventing anything except maybe the number of stops. So,
dude, that's what I fucking was thinking. One, everyone's going to want to pick Saturday, and even if they don't, this truck's still going to go up and down that street because someone's going to buy something. Like, no one, this is a fucking new Green Deal bullshit.
Well,
it sounds fantastic, but in fucking putting it into action, it's not going
to
happen.
Whenever I'm ordering 3D printer parts, I do tend to do it through Amazon just for this 2-day shipping, because ordering shit off China takes forever. And 90% of the time, it comes to the U.S. Postal Service, which runs every day anyways.
Yeah. It's a fucking... They're just patting themselves on the back. Hey, we saved the environment! You didn't do fucking
no,
shit.
No, I honestly think this is where they're seeing that they've got people on Amazon Prime who are ordering stuff that's $5 and $10, you know, once or twice a day, and not really thinking about it. And so every day they're getting little packages and a ton of little boxes, and they're not, you know, and Amazon's like, you know, we'd save X amount a year if we just put everything, you know, all of these little orders into one big box and shipped out once a week. That's where I was thinking they were going with it, is they're just trying to save on their packing costs.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm strange. I don't spend my entire day on Amazon. I find what I want, and usually I'm buying 3 or 4 things at once, or one big thing. By big, I mean expensive, not size.
Ah, gotcha. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I go on there for parts all the time, and it's just whenever I think of it, oh, I need this part for a project, or I need that, you just pop open a tab and do it. You don't even really think about it.
I've never had a package delivered by Amazon or any other group.
That's probably a good thing, honestly.
I force myself to leave the house, man. It's the only way I'm going to fucking do it. My wife's like, why don't you order the groceries online instead of waiting once a week to go out? Because then I'd never go out. That's what I do.
I check local first, simply because I do like the whole keep jobs local thing. But if they don't have it, Amazon.
Well, dude, I mean, almost every store you go into anymore, you go getting trying to get something. You know, seriously, I went into an office store the other day because I kind of need a new chair. This one's disintegrating. And thinking, oh, I'll just buy a new chair. And I found one I liked, and they had the display model. And the girl goes back there and said, well, we only kept one in stock, and we sold it yesterday, so we can order it for you. And it's like, I can order it myself. I don't need a store to do that. But everybody you go into anymore, it's like, oh, yeah, we'll order that for you. Fuck, what's the point of going to a store if they're going to order it?
Yeah, I see your frustration.
I mean, oh, we'll get free shipping. Yeah, so will I. Oh, look, we get a better price. No, you don't. I can look online. Here's the price. I mean, shit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's seriously, what's the point of going into a brick and mortar store if they're just going to order it and make me wait a couple of days anyways?
I haven't had that problem as often as you have in whatever I do. I just order it.
Yeah. So I guess I have more. I guess I try to buy more esoteric things, which is probably not very practical now that I think about it. Anyways, moving on. So, my local stores don't have forklift pallets. Are you buying forklift pallets worth of toilet paper at a time, Psychros?
Well done, sir.
I mean, it's probably cheaper. I'm not arguing with you. I think it's cool. I think I've already posted that link in the IRC. I just find it amusing to have like a pallet of toilet paper stored somewhere.
I thought my 72 rolls might be a bit excessive. I buy toilet paper 72 rolls at a time.
It's for when you have that mortal fear of sitting on the commode, realizing you need some toilet paper, and there's none in the house. You just have an absolute deathly fear of it.
It'll only happen once. Oh, man, first time you moved out on your own? Yeah. The things you never even thought about.
Oh my god, I'm out of shit tickets.
Yep.
Anyways.
What do you mean the water's not soapy? I've got to buy dishwashing liquid. Fuck.
Next article, speaking of needing to wash up, this is from beingincrypto.com. Security experts warn about sextortion, a new form of crypto scam that was first reported in 2017 and gained popularity last year. Excuse me. Last week, a UK-based cybersecurity company, Digital Shadows, published research investigating this new phenomenon. The experts of digital risk protection detailed how cybercriminals have diversified their blackmailing methods. It all starts with an email in which the sender claims to have access to the victim's webcam and sensitive information. Excuse me. The criminals threaten that they have video evidence of a victim watching porn. I've seen these emails. It's more than just watching porn. They usually are very, very poorly worded. And usually along the lines of basically we have video of you on the webcam watching porn spanking it. And threaten to make this footage public if they do not pay a ransom, usually in Bitcoin. Naive victims sometimes fall for this trick and attempt to hide their online secrets. Yeah, bullshit. But I could see somebody who doesn't know any better actually falling for this crap, but it's really funny when you get these emails because, like, at work, we occasionally get them reported, and, you know, the people who send them in are almost always super embarrassed. I never do anything like that. I don't care. It's a scam. But they said, no, It's a scam. I don't care. I don't care what you do in the employee bathroom. I don't want to know about it. Please stop talking. It's not real. Oh, yeah. We did have somebody really protest way too much when they got one of these. Oh, I'd never do that, especially not with company equipment. I mean, my God, I wouldn't. No, never. Never so in the company bathroom with the company equipment. I would never do that. It's just like, you know what? It's fine, but we're putting a note in your account for the next person to work on your computers to wear gloves. I mean, it's just, as somebody who's worked
on... The proper response should be, which video was I watching at the time? You know?
Did you get a good angle?
That's what I mean. Like, did I perform well? Do we need to shoot it again?
Do I need to start drinking more milk? What do you think? I mean, you know. Actually, as somebody who's done the IT tech work before, when you have your toolkit, if you're working on other people's machines,
rubber gloves.
Go into the hardware section, get a 50-pack box of latex or other painter's gloves. If you're allergic to latex, get the, you know, whatever the appropriate substitute is, and just keep them in your tool bag. And don't look too closely at keyboards because you don't want to know. Just whenever you work on a machine, always put on the gloves. And if anybody ever gets offended that you're putting on gloves to touch their computer, say, oh, no, I do that to everybody. You never know who eats over their keyboard.
Because you never know where my hands have been.
Most people don't question it when you say, oh, it's food related. It's like, oh, no, people eat over their keyboard all the time. I just don't want to. I just, you know, it's just fine. Or, you know, you could make up some bullshit about, oh, well, I haven't washed my hands, so I need to do this before I touch your keyboard, because it's your keyboard, you know. But, yeah, I have pulled out the purple gloves before I started working on a machine and had somebody get really upset with me for doing it.
Like, sir, I know how often people clean these things. They are bacteria magnets.
The answer is never. They never clean them. They throw them away and get a new one. Because most keyboards are $5. Little rubber dome bullshit. So, anyways. According to the research, since July of 2018, Sextortion has made about $332,000 in Bitcoin due to the email-based scam. Damn, maybe I'm in the wrong business. Well, the wrong side of my business. The Sextortion fraudsters targeted 89,000 email recipients as potential victims, with total number of attempts amounting to 792,000. The money from over 3,100 Bitcoin addresses was deposited to 92 Bitcoin wallets. The average ransom sum was equaling to $540. First reports of the new scam date back to 2017, but last year begun to run rampant. This year, the issue still persists, according to numerous posts published by Twitter users. Tim Trent posts, I keep getting emails threatening to send videos of me with my todger out to all of my contacts unless I send them a shitload of Bitcoins. The sextortion scammers are really boring. That's pretty good. To earn easy Bitcoin, sextortion scammers follow a similar scheme. They use social media networks, especially LinkedIn, to target high earners. They then inform the victims that they have been caught performing some embarrassing activities, like visiting sites with adult-only content. Ooh, because nobody does that. They claim they have recorded everything, including the victims' activities while visiting these sites, and threaten to reveal this to the victims' contacts. You know, we have video of your webcam. What webcam? The computer I do that with doesn't have a webcam, fucker. Now what? Yeah.
That is a very good tip there for all the degenerates out there in the audience. Probably if you don't whack off the porn, make sure you cover that webcam up. Maybe detach that microphone.
Electrical tape?
I still think the better scam was the, we have proof that you have child porn. At least that one's going to scare people.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, electrical tape and a hobby knife, I can't even tell where the webcams are on some of my laptops because I forgot. So, looking at the broadcast box, there it is, but it took me a second to find it. Just because I remembered it was at the top. which is not always the case anymore. I don't understand that. I've got a handful of laptops that have the webcam at the bottom of the screen. Wouldn't that just have the camera pointing right up your nose? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, never thought about it.
Yeah. I always cover it with tape, so it's not like I ever use them. So. But, they've got an example of the email here. Fantastic. To earn easy Bitcoin, sextortion scammers follow a similar scheme. These, blah, blah, blah. So here's the email. I know blank is your password. You do not know me, and you most likely must be wondering why you get this email correct. Let me tell you, I placed a malware on the adult video clips porn website, and there's more. You visited the site to have fun. You know what I mean. While you were watching videos, internet browser started operating as RDP, remote control desktop. It's not what RDP stands for.
Wow.
It's remote desktop protocol, just telling you. With a keylogger, which provided me with accessibility to your screen and web camera. After that, my software program collected your entire contacts from your messenger, social networks, and email. What exactly did I do? I made a double screen video. First part displays video you were watching. You've got fine taste, haha. And second part displays recording of webcam. What should you do? I believe $1,900 is fair price tag for our little secret. You make payment through Bitcoin. You do not know this. Search how to buy Bitcoin in Google. I love these emails. They're intentionally written.
This faggot has an ego, doesn't he?
They are intentionally written that way.
Yeah, I mean, what a fucking ego, having to tell you step by step of what he did. Average normie's not going to know shit. It's not badly worded. It could be done better.
It's to make you think the person's not very smart so that, you know, you're going to panic and do whatever. So
no, I think they're playing on the fear of, one, that it's obviously English isn't the first language, and Russia.
Yeah, there's some of that.
Because all these fucking news agencies about overseas hackers and shit like that and Ukrainians, you get the average fucking, you know, 50-year-old male is probably targeting men, I suppose. And, yeah, they're going to shit pants, as this man would say.
Yeah. Of course, it's only a bluff and the criminals do not have any videos, but out of the fear of public humiliation is a driving powerful factor. Dude, get an editor. Besides, to convince a panicking victim, scammers present proof in the form of a hacked password bought from other sources. Now the victim is ready to pay. Yeah, they go on Have I Been Pwned and see if the password shows up. So if they get an old password, you know, that's enough to scare a lot of people. According to the report, sextortion scams come from email servers based worldwide, but the heaviest traffic was related to Vietnam, Brazil, and India. Yeah, when we were getting them at work, I identified a couple of Indian servers and just blocked the whole subnet. Actually, a lot of problems stopped after I did that, by the way. Just block India. Well, you know what? I can't say that because so many people outsource their tech support there.
Yeah, but if World War Poo goes the way I think it will, we won't have any more problems with that.
World War Poo. So, anyways, let's see. Digital Shadows report revealed one more shocking find. The experts say that some of these sextortionists appear to be extremely unsophisticated and unfortunate. However, there's another advanced group of experienced cybercriminals that are very different. In particular, these criminals even perform recruiting activities, searching for accomplices and promising generous salaries of over $350,000 a year. The job scene for such a business assistance includes helping with spotting targets, spotting and targeting rich victims like high-earning company executives or lawyers with porn-watching habits. Another criminal innovation, according to the report, is a new way of monetizing the stolen data. Now, hackers might not need to directly contact a victim with ransom demands. Instead, they might opt to launch a crowdfunding campaign on the dark web and sell the hacked data and raise the money from the criminal public. So, I could see that. But, yeah. I just, every time, I've gotten tons of these at work, and, you know, the funniest thing is people's reactions to getting to them. It's not really the scams themselves, because it's also a pretty obvious scam, and almost all of the ones that people reported to me, they either didn't have the line about having a password. What most of them were doing was they actually spoofed the email address they were sending to. So it would say, you know, from your email address to your email address. Even if you went in the headers, they were actually coming from an email server in India. But so they didn't even do the password trick. They were just trying to say, see, look, I've hacked your email. I sent you an email from yourself. So, of course, we set up flags for emails that come from external servers to try to give people a chance to catch phishing. So, you know, there's the banner at the top of the screen saying, this is from an external server. And see, I sent this from your email account. So I had some people contacting me saying, I don't understand. If they sent it from my email account, why does it say that? Because they didn't send it from your email account. It's spoofed. So that's always fun, teaching people that people can lie in emails.
You mean people aren't completely honest?
People would do that? They just go on the internet and tell lies?
For a moment, I thought they got me beaten at my desk.
Caught my dong in the sinkhole.
Things you never want to hear in the company break room. That said, the scams are pretty funny because usually the emails are really badly written. And some of them just flat out say, saw you spanking it. So, actually, I'll tell this story. Why not? The first one of these, I actually had an intern watching, you know, monitoring that mailbox at the time. And it was, this is like, you know, his first job. And he gets one of these, and he's coming up to me and one of my coworkers, and he's super, super timid because he doesn't know if he's about to get in trouble for sexual harassment or something. He's like, so somebody forwarded this to the reporting box, and I don't know what to do with it. Well, what is it? I don't want to say it out loud. And I'm just, and at this point, I already know exactly what it is, right? Because I'd seen it in the box earlier in the day, and I knew damn well what he was worked up about. And he's like, I can't. Can you just look at it? I'm like, what is it? And so we start having fun with him. No, what is it? It's like, just tell me what's in the what's. Well, somebody reported this email, and it says some bad things. Oh, he was so fucking embarrassed. Of course, the kid looks like he's 12, so that made it even better. Because he had no idea how to handle that. How do you torture your interns, are you?
I've always been the intern. They don't have shit jobs. Like, apprentices, man, I brutalized apprentices. That was fun. But then again, I had 4 years of being brutalized myself as an apprentice. It just swings and roundabouts, man. That's what it is. Like, when you're new, you got to eat a bowl of shit. And then after you eat the bowl of shit, the other new guy's got to eat it. It's just a cycle.
It is.
This is we pussified the workplace, man. I don't mean like fucking putting someone in a drum case or anything like that. You know, or...
You just give them all the shittiest jobs.
Yeah.
Because it's the shit you don't want to do, and you have the opportunity to make somebody else do it.
Exactly.
Yep. Like having two people go into the bathroom to help a 475-pound woman get up. She fell and got stuck between the stall.
Fuck.
I didn't have to do that.
The luxury of management at that day.
It's like that's when you pick your two least favorite people.
Dude, for the first 2 years of my apprenticeship, I did nothing but clean up and get fucking do other people's jobs. Like, I wasn't just apprenticed to fucking my master. My master then tell me to go fucking work for that guy. Go work for that guy. I had to do what anything they fucking told. And then when it came to lunchtime, I couldn't eat in the same room as the other masters. Like, anybody who wasn't full ticketed couldn't eat lunch with them. So you're out there with the fucking day laborers and shit like that. It's, yeah. Nothing wrong with segregation.
Now, let me ask, did you actually learn anything during that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it worked.
I learned my fucking place in life. It's exactly what he teaches you to do, man.
Yep.
Like, you as an apprentice don't have the right to sit in the master's area and fucking open your mouth. I learned that fucking once I got my ticket, you get in that room, holy fuck, the shit that they talk about. It's all about money, who's getting divorced, like just the hardcore shit, man.
Well, I don't know. You know, I was giving that guy shit, but he actually did a really good job. So
he reported it to start with.
Yeah. Yeah.
But instead of hiding from it.
No, he did. I mean, other stuff too. He actually got to do a lot of shit that you would usually not let an intern do. Now, partly it's just because we were slammed and needed the help, but he probably picked up more out of that than most security interns get. Most security interns get cold, you know, go watch the sim, tell us if it beeps. So, but no, he actually did a pretty good job. So, anyways, you know, when he graduates, we'll probably call him back. But working on it anyway. Right. So let's go on to the next one here. The federal this is actually from FAA.gov, by the way. The Federal Aviation Administration has posted a rule in the Federal Register requiring small drone owners to display the FAA-issued registration number on the outside surface of the aircraft. Owners and operators may no longer place or write registration numbers in an interior compartment, like under the battery. The rule is effective on February 25th. This was posted on February the 26th. the markings must be in place for any flight after that date. When the FAA first required registration of small drones in 2015, the agency mandated that the registration marking be readily accessible and maintained in readable condition. The rule granted some flexibility by permitting the marking to be placed in an enclosed compartment, such as a battery case, if it could be accessed without the use of tools. Subsequently, the law enforcement officials and the FAA's interagency security partners have expressed concerns about the risk a concealed explosive device might pose to first responders upon opening a compartment to find a drone's registration number. That's a very unique thought.
Yeah. Like, someone micromanaged that thought.
Yeah, the FAA believes this action will enhance safety and security by allowing a person to view the unique identifier directly without handling the drone. If the drone has a bomb in it, I'm not leaving a registration number on it.
Hey, they're just expecting some dumb criminals, man.
I mean, come on.
I think they were just describing a lithium battery as a bomb.
This interim final rule does not change the original acceptable methods of external marking, nor does it specify a particular external surface on which the registration number must be placed. The requirement is that if it can be seen upon visual inspection, or the requirement is that it can be seen upon visual inspection of the aircraft's exterior. The FAA has issued this requirement as an interim final rule, a rule that takes effect while also inviting public comment. In other words, we're doing it now, but we might listen to you, bitch. The FAA issues interim final rules when delaying implementation of the rule would be impractical, unnecessary, or contrary to public interest. In this case, the agency has determined the importance of mitigating the risk to first responders outweighs the minimal inconvenience this change may impose on small drone operators and justifies implementation without a prior public comment period. The FAA will consider comments from the public on this interim final rule and will then review any submissions to determine if the provisions of the ultimate final rule should be changed. The 30-day comment period will end on March 15th, 2019. It's not 30 days if you publish it on February 25th and end it on March 15th. Wow. You might think it's almost like they don't want people to argue with them. To submit comments, go to regulations.gov and search for RIN 2120 AL32. So the FAA also proposed a new rule to let drones fly routinely at night and over people and to further integrate them safely into the nation's airspace. The comment period for these proposals begins tomorrow and end on April the 15th. So, yeah. Now, that's interesting, because all the links said that this was posted yesterday, but the page says it was last updated on February the 13th.
Just another overregulation.
I almost wonder if it was written internally on the 13th and just didn't get published publicly until, you know, the other day.
How many people would know to even look for that rule?
Well, it made me go look up what are the requirements for small drones, because I have a few. And if they weigh a half pound or more, you have to register them.
Okay.
And so it's by weight. It's not really by size. Although it does make me wonder.
A half pound or more.
I think that was what it was. What's this thing weigh? I'm trying to look up the weight of the drone I just got a little while ago. It's a Mavic Pro. I just don't remember what it weighs. Well, the whole thing's 4 pounds, but that's the box. That's not the drone itself. There we go. Mavic Pro weight. 1.5 pounds. So, yeah, I'm supposed to register that thing, apparently.
Wow.
What's the enforcement mechanism?
If they find the drone without a number on it, they beat you with nightsticks? I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be a fucking fine or something. That's all it would be.
I guess I need to register the damned thing. Print out a label. That shit sucks.
Yeah. What's registration of?
Well, it costs money. It's like $5 or something like that.
That's not much.
No, but it's more obnoxious than anything, because a lot of people are going to get these things because they're small and think they're toys and not realize that they oh, you got to register that. Well,
the problem is now you haven't got that, well, I didn't know expression, sir. You know?
You have to prove that I'm the same asshole on the internet radio as the guy flying the drone in the park, right?
I'll testify against you.
Damn it, are you? Where's the button?
Towards a fucked up dystopia.
Not that one.
And if they refuse, we'll find the shit out of them.
Close enough.
There you go.
I was looking for Brought to You by Australia, but...
Brought to you by Australia.
There it is. All right. Last news article. But you're right. Yeah, I probably have to register my damn drone. That sucks. It's obnoxious because I got to get a number and I guess write it on there in Sharpie or something. I guess I could try to 3D print a tag for it, but I'd be worried it'd like put the thing off balance, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, and this one's just funny. This is from techspot.com. Samsung is adding bloatware to its 2019 TVs because McAfee is paying them to do so. There is arguably no reason for Samsung to offer third-party antivirus software for an operating system that it has developed in-house. Partnering with software vendors is a fairly common practice for large hardware manufacturers. Laptop makers frequently pre-install bloatware in return for some sizable payouts, and smartphone OEMs are no different. Samsung is now installing McAfee antivirus on its 2019 TV lineup. Samsung is claiming something to the effect of wanting to protect users from malware. On the surface, that makes sense, but Samsung is running its very own Tizen OS on all the TVs. Instead of adding more junk to a TV, why not just improve the OS? The answer, though, is self-explanatory. Samsung would not receive a payout from McAfee if they did not install the software. Here's the official Samsung statement. McAfee extended its contract to have McAfee Security for TV technology pre-installed in all Samsung smart TVs produced in 2019. Along with being the market leader in the smart TV category worldwide, Samsung is also the first company to pre-install security on these devices, underscoring its commitment to building security from the start. McAfee Security for TV scans the apps that run on the Samsung smart TV to identify and remove the malware. Your TV can get a virus. You ever wonder if the Internet of Things has gone too far?
Oh yeah, dude, we are so far down the brakes. There are no brakes on this train.
What happens when you know when your oven can get a virus? Like, is it going to set your house on fire, or just really fuck up the next time you try to cook a pizza?
You're not going to be able to actually play anymore.
Yeah, this Internet of Things, man, where they want to take it. It's a fucked up dystopian nightmare if they get their way. And you know what? People fucking eat this shit up. They love it. Yeah, my fucking my shirt's got a tag on it. Okay?
Yeah, yeah. I can go to the restaurant and set my phone on the thing, and it'll let me order from the table.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at what IBM's shopping around, and we've had the discussion, it's not ready yet. It scares the shit out of me, to be honest. It really does, because the people that are controlling it, they scare the shit out of me.
It's built by humans, so ultimately it's fucked up somewhere.
Look at the Chinese model at the moment. Damn, man, that's some freaky shit right there.
Oh, yeah, the social credit score? Fuck.
Yeah, but their Internet of Things is coming along quite well. We're just starting up.
Well, they're saying they're way ahead of us in the 5G technology space, so.
Dude, they're ahead of us on biotech. They're ahead of us on pretty much everything. As little, because mainly they don't have to have moral reviews. They just do it. And then if the Chinese government decides that, well, that was a little bit dubious, you just end up in the gulags. Look at the dude who fucked around with those two kids' DNA.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Well, and I mean, hell, they still have the damn technology anyway, so they get the head start there.
Well, you have to sign up as a partner with the Chinese government.
To do business there, you're right.
Yeah. So that's what Google, man. They're just like, you know what? Fucking, we're developing AI with China. Fuck the Americans. They don't care. Because if they partner up with the Chinese government, they pay no tax in China. That's the incentive.
And then they get access to a really big market. Yep.
Yeah. You think they would have learned the last time they did this? Whenever you partner with the Chinese government, they don't really like outside companies.
Yeah, they steal your shit, give it to the internal.
Given to a Chinese company.
And then they kick you out.
Google China now.
Yeah, dude, the Internet of Things scares the ever-living fuck out of me.
Yeah.
I just don't see the usefulness of it that everyone else does.
Yeah, I just don't see it either. I don't see why my friend needs to be internet connected.
So it can ping your phone when you need milk, or at least when the refrigerator decides that you need milk, because the milk company has paid the company that made the refrigerator to say you need milk.
Like, I'm seriously thinking about starting to store old stuff that doesn't have to be connected to the internet.
That, or figure out how to strip the internet connection out of these things and still have them be useful.
Man, yeah, fuck yeah. But shit, some of those things have got so many anti-tamper things on them. You can brick shit just by opening it up.
Well, that's when you just pull the entire digital circuit out and replace it with an Arduino or some shit, right?
Don't put a cable on it. I don't know, man.
Well, that's what I would do with one of these fucking TVs. Is if you get a Samsung Smart TV and you want to watch Netflix on it, cool. Go get you one of those little Android sticks or hook a computer up to the damn thing. I wouldn't use the built-in Smart TV.
The problem with my LG that I got, right? I plugged it in, turned it on. It said, connect me to the internet. It wouldn't display anything until it had an internet connection. And then it wanted me to agree to the EULA before it would proceed to scan for channels, stuff like that. I freaked out thinking I bought a $2,000 brick. And went online and figured out that if you stick a toothpick in the back, hard reset it, and then set it to, hotel mode, then it automatically just started up without a cable connection.
That's fucked up. You can't even use the thing without the internet connection? I mean, that's messed up.
Yeah.
But it's a monitor. I should be able to hook whatever the hell I want to the damn thing.
I know, man, but it would not scan for the channels. You couldn't have any functionality until it had an internet connection so you could agree to the EULA.
What the hell EULA is there on a TV? Is it going to burn the house down?
I don't know. I did not read it. I just looked around for a solution, found a solution, done.
It's a monitor, for God's sake.
Everything's got a Euler, dude. You'll buy shoes soon that I'll have a Euler.
Fuck that. I'll 3D print my own damn shoes. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. I am looking into doing that. I got to fix the CR10, though.
Fucking army disposals, leaking. Man.
Yeah, that'd be a good way to do it, too. Or you just microwave the shoes after you buy them, just to be safe.
That'd be great. You could see why they'd want chips in shoes.
Oh, yeah. Track your location. Fuck that.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take a degausser to it before I put anything on anymore. Fuck.
I bought these shoes so they can monitor my steps and go straight to my phone, and then it orders from my healthy shit, my vegan stuff with my fridge.
Why do you have those burn marks on your shoes, dude? That's where I put them in the microwave to kill all the trackers. It's like, you know, you used to think the guy on the street corner trying to hand you newspaper saying it was the end of the end times was crazy. Fucker was right. He was just a few decades ahead of time.
Exactly.
Those little things.
It is interesting how some of the younger generations are getting not tech phobic, but they're just going, you know what, we don't need that. They're using stripped down gear.
Those little things on the end of shoelaces are called aglets, and their true purpose.
True purpose is sinister.
Madman beat me to it. All right, let's do this. Pretty light tonight in Digital Dojo. First thing I have up is a Nginx quick reference sheet for hardening the damned thing. Because there are a lot of people building Docker instances out there with default versions of Nginx, and I'm tired of arguing with them. So here's how to fucking fix it. I'm not bitter. Why do you ask?
But yeah. Obscure the way it is, isn't it?
No.
I mean, you'd have to be looking for it to even find it.
It's a web server. People look for those. Anyways, so yeah, it's got some things in here about what to set in the config so that you're not vulnerable to beast attack, so that you're not using the shitty versions of TLS or SSL, so that you're not, you know, releasing the version number, so that you're hiding the fact that it's Nginx and all, you know, forcing private keys to an actual reasonable size so people aren't cracking them with graphics cards. You know, a few other just good settings to have on a server so that people can't sit there and just, you know, do /404 please and get all the information about your server so that they know if there's any vulnerabilities in it or not, because people don't tend to patch their web servers often enough. So, yeah. No, I haven't had any arguments with my development team lately. Why do you ask?
I thought y'all were on the same page now. That's what one of your meetings said.
Yeah. Yeah. Turns out those guys are filthy liars when management's in the room. So.
Because all the meetings I've ever had with multiple departments, we're all on the same page. We all use the same rule book. We have the same policy and procedures when it comes to vacation time and dress code.
Time to go nose down and call it a night.
So, anyways, the second thing I have for us tonight, and again, this is kind of lightweight stuff, but as you may or may not have figured out, my week this week has not been fun, so I haven't really had time to dig for fun projects to put into a dojo this week. This is amusing. Somebody's taken a Raspi Zero and some parts. They've documented the whole thing in a series of YouTube videos, 3D printed a frame and some hinges and some other parts, and they've built a little laptop. Actually, I don't think they printed the frame. I think they bought the frame, but they printed large chunks of it. And it's a Raspi laptop. They've got emulators working on it. And he's modeled it after a wizard spellbook. So it's got a star on the cover, and, you know, it looks like a book cool when it's closed up. But it's a little home-built laptop running a Raspi. Replicating this guy's project, probably not necessary, but using this as some ideas for your own projects, hey, that's not bad, especially because he does a video of putting the thing together where he's wiring up the keyboard, and he's got a parts list. So you know, you can see all the stuff he used in there to build it. So if you want to take his idea and build it into something else, like, you know, trying to make the computer book from the Inspector Gadget cartoon, because that's the first thing I thought of when I saw that. Yeah, that'd be a way to do it. Or you could, you know, because the thing's large enough, you could certainly use a more powerful Raspberry Pi and maybe build out a something a little bit more useful, or something you can do pen testing or whatever with, especially with something that's not going to look like a traditional PC or laptop. You know, hide it in things. Like a notebook or something. Actually, a lunchbox would be kind of cool, you know? Like, you know, you got a lunchbox, you open it up, you get your sandwich out, and then you start running Metasploit.
I had him once, Batman lunchbox.
So anyways, I thought it was a cool, it's a cool project. The guy did a good job putting this thing together. And, you know, if you want to use it as a jumping off point for some of your own projects, or at least get a parts list for, you know, something for what you would need if you wanted to try to build one of these into your own thing, it's a good place to start. And you could, from the way he's built it up, you could easily switch out the Raspberry to one of the more powerful ones, or get like a Asus Tinkerboard or one of the better, you know, single board computers that have like the Intel chips. What's the one called? Latte Panda? There's like a $400 one that's running the same chip that's in a MacBook Pro. So, you know, if you wanted to try to build something like that up with it, you could still use mostly the same parts, although you'd probably want to use a better screen if that's what you're using, because it's, you know, a little bit more powerful hardware. So, anyways, although I don't know if that one will run off 5 volts, now that I think about it. That one might need a better, different power supply, so that might screw with the parts list a little bit. Doesn't matter. Anyways, that's all I really have for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it, which is a bit of a lie. We haven't been working on it lately because life. Of course, the Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit, and the IRC. Tonight in the IRC, we had myself, Sardonyx, Cykros, Iron Angel, and Madman. Madman, closing thoughts.
Stock up on your Indian food. Pakistan may be putting an end to all Vindaloo, which would be sad.
That Madman the rapper, fuck. All right, are you?
Buck, we're going to have to call you Six Pack.
All right, are you? Closing thoughts, future news, whatever.
Yeah, I have nothing really. Yeah, it's just been a really funky, slow news week. And if you took the time out to watch any of the Mueller thing, Madman? Is that right? Because I didn't watch it.
Cohen, his testimony.
Cohen? Yeah, if you did that, you're a fool. Do yourself a favor, check out Alex Jones on
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
And he interviewed Dr. Phil this week as well. That was also an interesting interview.
Joe Rogan had Dr. Phil on?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting, actually.
Did he get Dr. Phil high? Because I want to watch this now.
No, unfortunately. That's what I was sort of hoping for, but I knew it wasn't really going to happen. But it was interesting anyway. Like,
I want to see Dr. Phil high as a kite making the Elon Musk face.
That would have been great, but unfortunately, no. And he also interviewed a narco trafficker a couple days ago. A narco trafficker, a dude that interviews narco traffickers in Mexico. It was quite an interesting book, too. I've had a big week of fuck all, as you can tell.
You check out the Dr. Phil interview with the Hebrew Hammer?
No, I haven't looked at that one yet. I'm a little Shapiro'd out right now.
He's on a panel, and they discuss shit. He gets crapped on.
All right.
Got it from me.
I think it's probably time to hit the sound effects and close out the show.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Time to go nose down and call it a night.
I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
Brought to you by Australia.